Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
We are back and we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Here to talk UFC 251, three title fights. Kamaru Usman, Street Jesus Jorge Masvidal for the welterweight title. Max Holloway, or I should say first, Alexander Volkanovski, the champ, taking on Max Holloway 2 for the featherweight title, and Jose Aldo and PTR Jan for the bantamweight title, which in my mind is held by Aljamain Sterling, and the winner of this fight gets to challenge him. But anyway, here to talk about all those things, and more importantly, some DFS. I have to include FanDuel, but still, the big money this week, especially DraftKings, $1 million to first place. We have our second million maker we'll be chasing. Going to talk about all things DraftKings, FanDuel, breaking down these fights for DFS. I am your host, a Daily Fantasy Sniper. Long intro this week, but the card deserves it. Excited for it. With me, as always, to break it down, the important guys, the analysts. I'm just here really to moderate and keep these guys in check, maybe throw in a little bit of analysis when I can. It is Chris Olsen and Joe, better known as Sun Tzu. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I can't wait for this. I was so bummed out when Burns popped. I shouldn't use that language. When he tested positive for COVID. And Masvidal stepped up and he saved the card. And Gilbert says he's feeling better. So good news all around. And I'm just really excited for this.
I can't wait to see the disclosed payouts for this one. I don't think it's out there yet, but I'm really curious on what those numbers are. Joe, we got a couple female fights to look forward to. And I know more importantly for you, $1 million up top. How you doing this week?
Oh yeah, man. So we've got another Vaseline fight going on here. I actually put a chart together to show the from Procter & Gamble showing how the sales of hand lotion increased commensurate with weigh-ins and ultimately fight. We got Paige VanZant against Amanda Ribas. This is Paige VanZant's last fight under her UFC contract. So is she showing? Is she going to show up for Bellator? And we got $1 million. Last time, an Amanda Nunez lineup was only split up three ways with the same number of entries. So, you know, you have hope, and we only had 11 fights. Now we have 13. Let's embrace the variance, man.
Yeah, I built. So I'm only to a certain extent, you know, bankroll management things you have to keep in mind. I'm only building 10 lineups for the Millie Maker and then playing my normal stuff other places that I think are better GPPs, and two way different approaches. The Millie Maker stuff, I'm building off the wall crazy shit. Like, I, if anything between like $1,000 and $2,000 on the table, you know, is it there at the end, so will I, because that's the kind of lineups I'm building. Because I don't want to split it 20 ways. I want to win the whole thing, and the rest of the stuff I'll be more conventional. So that being said, let's talk about some fights, because we got 13 fights to get through. I haven't seen you guys in a while. How we're going to try and do this to an hour in an hour, I just have no idea, but we'll give it our best shot.
Don't worry, we should
at least some of these fights we should try. That being said, before we do get started, make sure to go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Sports are coming back. Soccer's going strong. MMA, as I mentioned, you know, DFS and season-long football stuff, I believe, is being posted. Like, tons of stuff is up there. Make sure and go check it out. Also, subscribe to the podcast, RotoWire on YouTube, RotoWire MMA on iTunes. Give all of us a follow on Twitter. One last plug. Chris is at Real Chris Olsen. I'm at Sniper_DFS. Joe is at Sun Tzu. Enough of the intro. We have Martin Day at 8,500. Taking on Davey Grant at 7,700. Martin Day -155. Grant, the comeback is +145. Fight goes to decision -170. I don't know how I feel about that. This is one of the first fights of the night I'm looking forward to target. I think, you know, we had an aggressive Hawaiian in Martin Day and the oft-injured veteran in Davey Grant. Been in the UFC 5 years, has fought 4 times. Joe, how's this adventure going to go? Kick us off this week.
Well, so to be fair, I mean, Day is coming off of a couple of injuries. He hasn't fought in, what, a year and a half? You know, 3 canceled fights, 2 for injuries to himself. One was a COVID postponement. Look, if you tell me, and we discussed this off air, guys, so I'm repeating this for the benefit of our millions of listeners. If you told me that I would get the same UFC metric guy that scored 100 significant strikes for Martin Day in his last fight against in his last loss, then I would be all over Martin Day. Truth be told, I do like the way that he's been training. I've seen some of his his media. Looks like he's in good shape. I believe he's one of these Hawaiian fighters. I believe he does train a little with Max. So I do like him here. He is coming off a layoff. 2 fighters that are not very active. I guess I'll take Martin Day, but really for him to win, he needs to really land often, because that's really his path to victory, is standing up and throwing volume. So give me Martin Day here. I don't know how much exposure I want to him yet. I'm still lineup building. I needed to wait for the weigh-ins, but I'll take Martin Day here.
I'm a little higher on Day, because I think, I mean, Grant typically wants to box, but he finds, you know, when he has the grappling advantage, he goes there. I think Day's takedown defense is going to be good enough. And I like Day a bit in this fight to win the stand-up and I think potentially get a finish. So Chris, what do you got here?
So this is my birthday on the first fight, because I get to disagree strongly with Sean. I don't like Martin Day kind of at all as a fighter. I think that the more I watch him, the more it just seems like, you know, we like him as sort of, I mean, it's tough to call a prospect because I think he's a little bit older than your typical prospect. But, you know, he's long, he's sort of flashy, he does good work to the body and mixing up the targets. But I just see a guy who gets backed up a lot and he doesn't even really get a chance to use his best weapon all that much, which is those kicks. And then when he does use them, he kind of telegraphs them. He had no business even getting a draw in that last fight?
Yeah.
He had no business.
Wait.
Go watch the fight. He won that fight. He was
He was going to win it, except that he telegraphed one kick too many, got it caught, got knocked down, and then spent the entire third round on his back, if memory serves.
He still should have won the fight. He won the other 2 rounds. But neither here nor there. We can disagree.
Okay. Agree to disagree on so many things. But look, I just got to say it. Like, I just feel like his game breaks down when he's got an opponent that's going to pressure him. It happened on the Contender Series too. And he's good in the scrambles. We saw Davey Grant get tapped out by Oh, who's the Polish fighter who's no longer here?
Damian Stasiak.
Damian Stasiak in the third round of that fight. So that's not great. But I just think that basically Martin Day is kind of – I feel like he's kind of losing these fights and then sort of just wins them because he can show up as the fresher fighter. I don't think he's going to have that luxury against Stasiak. I feel like he's taken his cardio pretty well into the end of fights when he's had to. I feel like he's a good mover on the feet, and he's sneakily athletic. You wouldn't really think of him that way, but I like his boxing game. I like the way he gets in and out, and I think he gets this done here. So I'm going to kick the card off on a dog play, and I'm taking Davy Grant.
Where I disagree there is I don't think the pressure is going to be there. If Davy Grant can pressure Martin Day, then you're probably right. I think that's where we disagree here. So we'll see how that one shakes out. Yeah. Next up, Carol Orosa, 9,200, taking on Vanessa. I always want to call her Veronica. Vanessa Mello at 7,000. Line on this fight is pretty wide. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get the exact number. Sorry, guys. I clearly am a little bit rusty. Minus 250 for Rosa, plus 230 for Mello. Fight goes to decision, minus 300. The fact that Carol Rosa is minus 250 against anybody is, it's not good because she's not good. The problem is I looked high and low. I looked hard for a reason to pick Vanessa Mello, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, she's not good.
So she's not good, but neither is Rosa. So the line's wide and the price is there. That's really it, though. I don't, you know. That's the breakdown on this one. I'll take Rosa, but I'm probably going to have more Mello just in case she trips ass backwards into something. Chris.
Yeah. I agree that neither fighter is all that great, but I'm taking Rosa here. And I think she actually might get a finish. I agree with your sentiments about Mello. Like, I just don't see anything good about her. Like, she's glacially slow. Her hands are really slow. She throws big looping punches, and that would be something, but there's not even any power behind them. She doesn't even have a stoppage by strikes in, I think, 17 fights. So I just think that, Rosa got hit a lot in her debut against Tracy Cortez because she keeps her head high, but she even got a knockdown in that fight late in the third round. So her aggressiveness and the fact that she's just going to be in there throwing volume, I really think she gets a stoppage here. I think she landed something like 124 significant strikes in that fight against
Rosa. Tracy.
Yeah, something like that.
Rosa was like 170.
More, dude.
Oh, was it 100? Okay, so
170-ish.
Wow. Okay, so
not really, but that's what she was credited with.
Yeah. But so there's that, and I just don't see Mello dangerous in any facet. It's weird to be so confident about a fight with two very low level fighters, but if Mello surprises me, it's gonna have to be because I just don't see it. So I'm taking Rosa possibly by finish. And I have to say, I mean, she's way priced up on DraftKings, but if you're on FanDuel, she's only $16, and that's the middle of the pack. So you get a good discrepancy there. So if you like Rosa and you don't want to spend the $9,200, play it on FanDuel. It'll get better. But Rosa's the pick.
Yeah, it's for those, you know, we gripe about Fight Metric all the time. I will continue to do so. I do think they are atrocious. Something I did see, you know, I forget what was written or just somewhere, basically any strike at range doesn't matter. You could reach out and flick somebody. I think if it's at range, it's credited as significant.
Yeah.
It's when you're in the clinch and on the ground that they kind of take liberty with it.
Which is
a weird thing to distinguish, but that is, if you're ever wondering, at least there's that to it. If it's at range, it's significant. Doesn't matter. So anyway, on that note, Joe, how do you have?
Yeah, two quick points here. First of all, Sean, I would, if I was you, I would save Mello and hard for the Van Zandt fight. Chris, are glaciers really slow? I mean, you know, with global warming, that's what I always wonder. This is also sort of a James Tahoe fight in the sense that, you know, Mello has definitely lost to better fighters than our friend Rosa has beaten, for whatever that's worth. Aside from those three interesting facts, I would say I have to go with Rosa here. Again, another one of those situations where if I knew the same person who scored the 176 significant strikes for Rosa in her last fight is on board again, this would be a lock and load kind of play. As it turns out now, I don't know that she's going to get that much ownership simply because I think, you know, you pay up a little bit. You got Kamaru. You could pay down and get Ozdemir. I just don't know how popular she's going to be. But if you take a look at her last score, I could see her getting some ownership that way. But I will take Rosa here.
All right, move it out, move it on. I like the pace, guys. She's doing a great job. Raulian Paiva, 8,700, taking on Zhaglas Zhamagulov at 7,500. God, I crushed that.
That was excellent.
I'm taking a second to pat myself on the back. Moving on, the odds in this fight. Paiva, minus 165. Zhamagulov, plus 155. Fight goes to decision, minus 270. I went into this fight thinking, all right, I'm going to be all about Paiva. And I'm still picking him to win, but Zhamagulov is not bad, guys. Like, I think the range and size of Paiva is going to be a little bit too much. Zhamagulov's got plenty of volume. You know, he throws big, but doesn't really knock people out. I actually think this is a pretty close fight, and I'm picking Paiva to win, but I'm going to have more shares of Zhamagulov just because of the price difference. And if he wins, he's more likely to end up on the optimal. So I think Paiva wins. I think his range is going to be a little bit too much here. But Zhamagulov, definitely, I think he's a live dog on this card. Joe, start us off on this one.
Okay, so you got Zahuka, who is, or Double Z, as my good friend Gravy Cakes calls him, against
the
guy.
That's a good cop out. That's nice.
Yeah,
I like
against that. Against the fighter who, you know what, you know, missed weight by 20 pounds. No, not really, but five. Only because he forgot to order the vegetarian meal on the flight over. Look, there's some decent wins for Double Z, Zahuka. Bagatinov, split decision, decent win. He's got a win over Tyson Nam. For that reason, he'll probably get some ownership. However, I feel a lot better about the fact that Pavia missed weight by that much, because that generally means you just stop trying at some point and you don't drain yourself and you don't look like Jose Aldo, who needed, you know, who needed a towel and some dental floss. I mean, you know, so I would say I'm probably a little higher now on Pavia than I was, but why not throw a few shares on this guy? He's got a couple of decent wins. He's one of those, Kazakhstan fighters that, you know, tough guys. He is second out of 107 active Kazakhstan pro flyweight, so, and second in Central Asia as well. So with those accolades, you know, you got to have a couple shares. I will take Paiva to win.
That's brutal, brutal recommendation. Just throw that at the end. Chris.
Yeah. So I kind of share your misgivings a little bit, Sean. They mentioned it on a broadcast where, like, he doesn't retract his jab all the way up to his chin. He gets cracked a lot on the counter. He gets hit so much. The reason why I'm leaning Paiva here is just the wrestling. Zhamagulov gets taken down pretty much in every fight that he's in. He gets back to his feet a lot, but I think the length here could have something to say about that. And Paiva, not traditionally a wrestler, but did look to grapple a lot either in his last fight or the one before that, I can't remember, but has looked to wrestle somewhat a bit more frequently lately. And I agree. I think that the length is going to be a bit too much. I would agree that maybe he doesn't hit value, but you know, enough rinse and repeats. Maybe it's a good cash play. That's pretty much it. I'm not going to have too much of this fight. I agree that if you like Zhamagulov, you should play him because, as you said, he's more likely to be on the optimal. But I like Paiva here in what could be kind of a boring control fight. I'm taking Paiva, and we have a request in the chat to talk about Captain Mode. We could do that now, or we could do that at the end. Whatever you guys think.
We'll do it at the end. We'll go through.
So Vince, hang out for a little bit. We got you, buddy.
I knew it was you, Vince. I knew it was you before I even looked. moving out. Maxim Grishin, 8,100, taking on Marcin Tybura at 7,900. Fight is now Pick'em. Tybura, minus 110 at 7,900. Grishin, plus 100. It's Pick'em even the other way in some places, depending on the book you use. So basically, a Pick'em fight here. Fight goes to decision, doesn't go to decision. Also a Pick'em at minus 110 apiece. And I got to say, this is the fight I'm probably struggling on the most. I think it's lined exactly right. I'm pretty much pick 'em on it. I think the finish prop is pick 'em, and I have a hard time distinguishing between the two. Grishin is a light heavyweight, making this, taking the fight on short notice. Tybura is a smaller heavyweight who doesn't really have a chin. Grishin can be taken down. Tybura can grapple. It's not the best grappling, but he can do it. I'm kind of up in the air with it. In the end, I lean towards Tybura. One, because I've seen Grishin get more love than I think he probably should. Two, I like the grappling upside of Tybura. And three, he's kind of been there before, and he's not the guy taking the fight on short notice. That being said, it's incredibly close, but those are the things that push me a little bit towards the Tybura side. Chris.
Yeah, I'm a little stronger on Grishin than
you. I hope so. You can't get any more lukewarm than I just was. Yeah. This is the one fight where I'm really lukewarm.
Yeah. Well, I actually like Tybura a lot against Romanov.
Oh, yeah. I had a bet on that fight. And yeah. Scrapped.
Romanov barely is like, it looks like an amateur fighter. But Grishin to me looks like, you know, he's big. He's got a little length. He's got some power. He's got good wrestling defense, as far as I can tell. He had a fight with Jordan Johnson. Got taken down a couple times, but, you know, Jordan Johnson, that's all he does, go for it. So if you can stuff, like, 7 out of 9, so you're doing pretty well. And Tybura, he just seems to have regressed quite a bit for me. I feel like I thought maybe we were seeing, like, a breakout heavyweight guy when he finished what's-his-face with that head kick, Victor Pesta, and then from there, I think after the Verdum fight, his boxing has just looked so tentative. He doesn't really kick at all. He's used wrestling as an escape hatch in certain fights, but I don't think, again, he's going to be able to do that here. He's been getting hit a lot more lately. I mean, he wasn't a guy that was getting finished, and then he gets finished by Sasaki, and then one more, I think, right? Russian fighter before that.
So you got to give me, find a way that's for you to permission me to put up some of these comments. I like some of these. He needs Vellante's diet tips.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll watch the chat a little closer. I would give you permission if I knew how, but maybe we'll work on that for next time. But yeah, so I think Grishin could get a finish here. I just don't like how, like I said, tentative Tybura has been in these fights. I think he's kind of lost a little bit. So I'm taking Grishin here. I think it could be a finish.
Joe?
I don't want any part of this fight. I actually was looking forward to King Kong fighting, because I love any fighter that's got a style defined as sumo, where he just picks guys up and throws them down to the ground. You know, I do not like the track record of fighters coming over from PFL. I'm starting to question their drug policy. You know, I look what happened with Lenz last week. He got starched by Boser and you know, just got lit up by our friend Andre Arlovski. You know, so I don't know about fighters. Now we have a fighter coming over from PFL on short notice, making his debut at heavyweight. Now, with that said, he's not giving up a whole lot in terms of height and reach, a little bit, but Tybura has fought so much better than this guy. He may not be the greatest fighter in the world, but he was beating Derek Lewis before he wasn't. He's had some competitive fights. I honestly believe that if he can't beat Grishin here, that he should be cut from the UFC, because this is about as easy of a fight as he's had in quite some time. So I don't want any part of this fight really for DraftKings, but I do think that it's Tybura's fight to win.
In all fairness, Joe, everyone is beating Derek Lewis until they're not.
Okay, fair enough.
True story. Moving on. Leonardo Santos, 8,800, taking on Roman Bogatov at 7,400. Santos -175. Bogatov +155. Fight goes to decision -125. Fight doesn't go to decision -105. You hear me kind of stutter on that one. That fight doesn't go to decision numbers. Interesting to me. Okay, look, this is. I'm going to take a second here, because this is the one underdog on the card. I believe I'm picking straight up to win. I'm taking Roman Bogatov. When you hear Roman Bogatov, pretty much think Bartosz Babinski. Just grapple, grapple, grapple. Going to wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. Takedown, takedown, takedown. Now, on paper, this is a bad matchup because Leonardo Santos is the better striker with power and is a BJJ guy, a high-level BJJ guy. Here's my problem. Leonardo Santos is a walking injury. You can go through his record, and he's got good wins on there. I don't have it up in front of me, but it's Anthony Rocco Martin, I believe. Anthony Rocco Martin's on there. What's the other one? There's one other really good one. Kevin Lee on there. And those are older. The problem is he's constantly hurt. He's 40. He's coming over from Brazil where they have a real coronavirus issue. That's probably the most the biggest narrative reach I'll take here. I just don't trust him. I don't trust aging 40-year-old fighters at 8,800. I just can't do it. I got a guy on the other side who's going to want to grapple. I'll take my shot there. I will have head shares of Santos for sure, because he can finish. But there's other people in that price range I'd rather pay for. Whereas Bogatov, this card is about getting the underdogs right. And I think a lot of people are going to focus on the Andrades, the Holloways, the Masvidals. Like, find somebody in this range who wins with his style. Look, I think this fight plays out one of three ways. I see Chris making a face, but this fight plays out one of three ways. One, Bogatov looks for a takedown, gets knocked unconscious as he comes in. It's going to score well. Two, he's going to grapple the ever-living crap out of Santos and score very well. Or three, he's going to be doing that and at some point gets caught in a submission. And depending if that third one happens, which I think honestly is Santos' most likely path to victory, if he doesn't do it in the first round, he doesn't score very well. And even if he does it in the first round, it's 90 points plus a little bit, 95-ish. On this card, I don't think that's going to get it done. So I like Bogatov much more as a DraftKings play, and I like the grappler against the older BJJ guy who's constantly hurt. All right, that's the longest I'll give on a fight breakdown of this card because it is the one underdog I am picking. Chris, start us off.
All right, before I go, this is what I was laughing at. Joe looks like he's being recorded on a trail cam. It sort of looks like you're in the woods a little bit there, Joe. I don't know what's going on.
In the dark? Is that because it's a little dark behind me? I don't know.
That might be it, but that just made me smile a little bit. Okay, here we go with the breakdown. I mean, I think your concerns are pretty well-founded. I'm not really a narrative player as such. If I was, that would be a pretty good justification. But I just think the BJJ rationale plays for that. And I also think that, where has it really shown that the age is catching up with him? I don't know. I mean, that Stevie Ray fight didn't last very long, but he looked plenty quick there. And certainly
against Stevie Ray.
Well, yeah, but I mean, well, but who's this? This is a 10-0 guy from, you know, who knows who he's fighting. And
it's not bad. If you go back and look, by the way, it's not.
He's the M1 lightweight champ, dude.
Oh, okay. You know,
M1's no joke.
There's been guys coming from M1 that haven't done so well.
But there are some M1 guys who have busted, but just it's not jungle fights. Like he's not.
I understand.
I got you.
I understand, but I just think that like also when I watch him fight, it's like. He's weird because he's got moments where he's a good control grappler. Like you see him do the Khabib thing where he figure fours the legs and you go, oh, okay, so that looks pretty good. And then he's got moments where like he loses position trying to move to a better spot. And you just can't do stuff like that on the ground against a guy like Santos. And I don't know, like on the feet, it looks like your typical wrestle boxer, like trying to just pressure and throw big strikes until you get into the clinch. And I don't know. This just doesn't seem like a guy that Santos loses to me. He's still plenty athletic, as I alluded to. And, I just think he gets this done. I like him quite a bit. Look, he's a dog, and he's a wrestler, and he's going to look to grapple. And so everything Sean said is on point if you want to go in that direction. I am not. I think Santos gets this done and probably by finish.
Joe?
Yeah, so I agree this is Santos's fight to lose or win, however you want to look at it. The one point I do have to make is that do you know when Santos had his first MMA fight, it was actually 5 years before the release of the first iPhone? That's how long Santos has been fighting. He's only fought like three times in the last 5 years. look, that split decision against Martins was not a good look, but other than that, it doesn't look like he's lost all that much.
That was one of the worst fights I've ever seen.
Go ahead. there are pretty solid statistics about fighters once they turn 40. Shout out to Technical Tim and Brett Apley. You should certainly check that out after you listen to our pod. You know, there are really some solid stats. With that said, I'm kind of with you, Chris. I mean, because my buddy Sean has been really hot with his underdog picks, I will have shares of the M1 lightweight champ. But I have to believe that this is Santos's fight to win.
Moving on, moving out. We have Makwan Amerkani, 8,600, taking on Danny Henry at 7,600. Makwan's minus 192. Danny Henry is plus 177. Fight doesn't go to decision, minus 165. On paper, a good one to get exposure to with the inside the distance prop. And Makwan being a grappler here. Joe, how do you have it?
Mr. Finland. So anyway, love his Tapology picture. It is by far the best photo I've ever seen on Tapology. What you have to look at here is some narrative. Mr. Finland looked really good early on against Shane Burgos, got his takedowns, and then apparently just like ran out of gas. What a lot of people don't know, shout out to Newsom's MMA, is that Marconi was very ill that night, to the point that he was ill in his dressing room, did not want to cancel the fight, spent 2 days in the hospital after that fight, not because of any damage he took from Burgos, but from his illness. So that's what I consider to be pretty solid narrative. I think he's sneaky. I think he's got a solid floor because he's going to get his takedowns. You know, as sneaky as anybody who's a 2-to-1 favorite can be on a stacked card. So I think he could put up some points. I really do. I mean, he's got that. He's got a really weird price. You know, so if you are looking to do something in the mid-range, yeah, I think you could do far worse than Marwan, and he's got a pretty solid floor. So give me Mr. Finland here.
I'm also a Mr. Finland in this fight. I agree with everything Joe just said. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, I hope Joe's right. I hope he's sneaky and people don't take him because I'm gonna take a lot of him. I don't think Danny Henry is a UFC fighter. I just don't. His first fight, he fought Daniel Tamer. Tamer got tired after beating him up for a round and a half.
That's two UFC wins. How many you got?
In what I'm almost positive would go differently if they fought again. He caught Dawodu with a nice counter shot and then finished him on the ground. Amerkani is just way too seasoned a grappler. He keeps himself safe inside the cage, so I doubt he's going to get hit with any kind of counter shot like that. And look, his hands are getting better. Like, they're not great, but he can at least fire a jab. And look, they're pretty quick. And he's a better grappler than Henry. And Henry gets hit hard by almost everybody. So, yeah, I'm taking Amerkani. I don't think that Henry has much of a path unless, you know, he somehow pulls something out on the ground. I don't think that's going to happen. I like a lot of Amerkani, and I'm predicting a first or early second round finish.
Moving on. Muslim Salikov, 8,200, taking Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos at 8,000. Line on this fight, minus 130 for Muslim Salikov, plus 120 for Eliseo. Fight does not go to decision, minus 125. Problem is, neither one of these guys are very high volume. It's typically, you know, to score well, knockout or bust. The exception is Zaleski dos Santos can grapple a little bit, which is why I'm surprised he's the dog in this one. I thought it would have been, you know, a little bit the other way. I guess the travel factor and just, you know, people, you know, Muslim does hit a little bit harder. I think he seems to have power, but Zaleski's tough, man. I've watched him be in some wars. I know he got finished in the third round by the Leech in China, but still, you know, he looked bad in that fight, but he was tough and, you know, he took a beating for almost three full rounds. So I'm trying to get out of here is this one. I think it's going to get maybe a little more ownership than it should, because if these guys don't find a first round finish, there's not a ton of volume here. So I'm going to lean Zaleski for the grappling upside. You can play a little bit of both sides. It is a GPP fight for sure. Chris, what do you have?
Yeah, I'm gonna lean the other direction, but it is just a lean because, like you said, these guys are. I mean, the battle of the spinny kicks, right? And then we'll see who comes out.
Capoeira kicks are prettier.
Yeah, that's the breakdown. But the thing about Zaleski, and I was like, I watch him, and I try to realize why I don't like him as a fighter that much, and I think it's because, like he gets all spinny and does all his weird. Cool stuff, but if you can back him up, then he basically just becomes like a blitz forward striker with like his boxing. And so if you take away the kicks, I feel like you take away a pretty large percentage of his game. And I think Salikov is going to be able to do that and just have Zalescu just try to burst out at him like Konchenko did. But the thing here is that Dos Santos had a really good really pretty big speed advantage over Konchenko. He's not going to have one over Salikov. It's not a noticeable one anyway. So I think the fact that Salikov is going to pressure, plus he's got the speed to at least compete, if not be a little faster, I just feel like he's going to be the one to control this fight and probably win it by decision.
Joe?
If Capoeira was easy, it would be called Kung Fu. Give me Capoeira versus the King of Kung Fu. He's got one blip on his record in a long time, and that is the fight by Lejing. Let him got back on track. Let's let him continue his run here. Give me Zalescu. I like that he is like, you know, fading into dog territory here. It was even when I saw it, and then I see some money coming in on the King of Kung Fu, but give me Zalescu here.
Moving out and moving on, we have Volkan Ozdemir at 8,400 taking on Jiří Prochazka at 7,800. Ozdemir minus 145, Prochazka plus 135. Fight doesn't go to decision, minus 175. I've become a believer in Volkan, just that he's not as bad as I thought he was. I think he's legit light heavyweight, and I'm not talking, you know, people instantly want to avoid him because he lost to Anthony Smith, where he just flat out gassed out. Take away that fight for a second. He was a split decision loss to Dominic Reyes, who you could argue he won that fight.
He did win that fight.
Yeah, and a split decision win against Alexander Rakic, who we all agree is a top-tier prospect. So, yeah, people see the Anthony Smith thing. I think they're going right away from him. Jiří Prochazka is the risen light heavyweight champion. Ryzen, by the way, is the same organization who's putting on Gabby Garcia against grandmas. Like, he hasn't fought anybody under like age of 37 in forever. Like, Jiří Prochazka is beating up people in retirement homes at this point. And 4 years ago, he lost to Muhammad Lawal. Like, whoo, let's hold on. You're losing to King Mo, you know, not 10 years ago. So that being said, Prochazka hits hard. I think Ozdemir obviously hits hard. It's a little more technical. And I'm getting the sense Ozdemir is going to be less owned. Yeah, give me Volkan against, you know, the newcomer. I'll have some shares of Prochazka in case he finds a knockout, but prove it to me at this level. Just prove it to me. And Volkan, for as much as I've hated on him for a while, he's proved it to me. So give me Volkan. Joe.
Yeah, so Jiří has been, you know, beating the ghosts of Christmas past, you know, and in Dalloway and King Mo. And look, I like you, Sean, feel that you know, Ozdemir won that fight against Reyes, that was a very fortunate decision in Reyes' favor and ended up getting him that title fight and allowed him to look as good as he had against.
And I was on Reyes, by the way, and I thought, yeah. I just lost that.
So was I. And I was dreading because I was really sure he lost that fight. The only reason I'm going to have any shares of Jiří is because the, you know, the shirtless Canadian, Cody Saffrick, actually is kind of high on him. And I heard he looked really huge at weigh-ins. So maybe I'll have a few shares of him, but I really think that this is the easiest fight that Volkan has had in quite some time. I don't understand why the line isn't higher. I think this should at least be 5-2 for you neophytes, minus 250. I don't understand the line. I like it. I'm going to be betting some more Volkan. I'm going to put him in a few parlays. I'm going to have some shares of Jiří just to be different. And, you know, in the case that the shirtless Canadian is right, I would take that.
Was he shirtless?
Yeah, he did.
You know, last episode of the pod.
Yeah, he did the show. He did the show shirtless.
Good on you. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. Chris.
Yeah. The more I looked at this fight and thought about it, the more I like Volkan for it. I think, how do you say his last name?
Prohaska.
Ozdemir?
Prohaska. No, the other one. Ozdemir, I got it. He's been here long enough. But Prohaska, like, I mean, I get it to a certain extent. He's fast. He's powerful. He's got a nice fast hook. He throws from different angles. But look, as you guys said, and I'll dig down into this a little deeper. He's fighting, the legend circuit. And that, I think it was the last fight against CB Dolloway. Dolloway looked good in that first round before he got knocked out. So I just think that, look, the one thing that I love here about Volkan is we saw in the last fight against Rakic where he destroyed that lead leg. Prozhakovnik, I forgot again.
Prohaska.
Prohaska.
Just call him Jiri.
Jiri is good, Jiri. So Jiri stands really heavy on the lead leg. He likes to cover distance with those strikes. I think his leg is going to get really, really destroyed. Even in the fights he's winning in Ryzen, that's happening to him, and he's toughing his way through it. I don't think he's going to be able to tough his way through this one. Can he catch Volkan? Maybe, but it's not like we've seen evidence of Volkan having a suspect chin or anything like that. So even if he has to take a couple shots, I'm okay with it. Yeah, I would have both too because I do think it's a fight that ends in the decision, so I'd have shares of both. But my shares are going to lean pretty substantially on the Volkan side. I think he gets his done by the finish.
Moving out and moving on, we have Amanda Ribas at 9,500 taking on Paige VanZant at 6,700. Line on this fight, Ribas is -750 last time I looked. Is that still the case or has it gone higher? Yep, 750. Paige VanZant +600. I wrote somewhere that Paige VanZant is about to get her ass beat and everybody knows it except her. Like, that's how I feel this fight. Like, that's the feeling I'm getting with this lead into to this fight. Look, Ribas is a legit prospect. VanZant, unless she does lands in something flashy, I don't see how she beat Ribas. You can have the conversation. She's the most expensive fighter on the card. Can you afford her? Etc. Will be in the optimal lineup. That's a bigger conversation. If a couple dogs, put it this way, if we get a couple dogs winning, then she'll have no problem as long as she scores her 100 and smashes Paige. If Paige is tough and drags out a little bit, Ribas is going to have a hard time reaching the optimal. I think Ribas runs through her. I think she is legit. And the next time we're going to see PVZ is in Bellator. Chris.
Yeah, I'm trying my hardest, but I can't figure out a way that Paige VanZant wins this fight.
All people too.
Strike. Well, who does?
I thought you always dig for the biggest underdog on the card. You always.
That's why I'm saying I really gave it a shot, but I couldn't do it. Look, she was getting tagged up coming into the pocket against Rachel Ostovich, who was hitting her with big right hand, just because she just sort of swings her way in and doesn't move her head, and she doesn't have power, so it none of it works really. And Ribas is good everywhere. I mean, she's athletic, she's a good boxer. She's a good kickboxer. She can wrestle a little bit. In the past, Paige VanZant has been able to use her grappling as kind of a parachute. She won't be able to do that here. I think Ribas is the better grappler, too. Now, the point about whether she will score well enough is a legit one because as much as, I don't think Paige is going to win this fight, I must say I don't think she gets enough credit for how tough she is. And we've seen that before. We've seen her really take beatings in fight against Rose Namajunas, although that was Rose ended up scoring a lot of points in that fight because she took a beating, and that could be the case here too. But if you're worried that she might get extended, she could absolutely get extended, Ribas can, because Paige is very tough, and I feel like we should give her credit for at least that much. But as far as where the fight goes, I think this is Ribas every day.
Joe?
Yeah, so we're going to need a quick little screen share here. To actually illustrate.
Don't put anything inappropriate on the screen.
I'm terrified.
I'm not gonna put anything inappropriate. Come on.
Do it. Man. Do it.
I'm going to have to do a little screen share here. Let's see. Share my entire screen. Let's see. Come on. Ah, man. Come on. There we go. Okay. So what I think we need to do here is, first of all, do you guys see this? Okay.
No, you gotta share it, Chris.
Do I have to do something?
There we go. There we go.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
That's
oh
so,
God.
So we got about a gross bottles of hand lotion. And then, of course.
Joe, you promised, Joe.
I promised. Oh, look, this is very PG, guys. And then what happened.
Grow up, Chris.
At the conclusion of this fight is this. That is a monument to an exploding whale right there. So.
Okay, can I take it off, please?
Yes, that's going to happen. So look, Rebus is very high priced, highest priced fighter on DraftKings. I do say, in all seriousness, that if you are, going to max enter or play a significant number of lineups in the Millie Maker, you probably should have a share of Paige VanZant, because that is probably your best chance of not sharing the $1 million top prize with a lot of people, as if somehow Paige pulls one off here, which is no pun intended. Which is possible. Again, if you're looking for some narrative, this is a fight up a weight class. Rebus, I believe, is typically a 115er. This fight is 125. I don't know that makes all that much a difference. Rebus should win this fight going away. Paige is tough, though, man. She has fought with a broken arm. I've seen her pass out rather than tap. So, look, Rebus could get extended. I really don't give Paige a great chance to win. I'm obviously going to pick Rebus to win the fight.
Thomas, where do you think children come from?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, guys. Hand lotion and exploding whales. So that's what I'm going with here. I just don't know how much Rebus I'm going to have on DraftKings. Look, if she punishes Paige and Paige is just like Felicia Spencer, too tough for her own good, I could certainly see Rebus racking up some points here. But I just don't know. So Rebus is probably going to be underowned as the highest priced fighter on DraftKings. So probably worth a few shares. And yes, to distinguish yourself and to be different, you probably should have a share or two of Paige if you are playing a significant number of lineups in the Millie Maker.
All right, moving on. Next fight up we're into the good stuff now. Here we go. Rose Namajunas, 9,000, taking on Jessica Andrade at 7,200. A line on this fight, Namajunas minus 200, Andrade plus 185. Fight goes to decision minus 125, about a pick 'em. Look, to me, this line is offensive. People are acting like the first fight was a fluke. Look, yes, Rose was up in the first fight, looked good in the first round. The problem is the pressure of Andrade, pressure. And against a fighter like Rose, I think eventually she's going to break her again. The problem is, and there are some concerns here, I'm not just, Andrade, by the way, going to be probably the chalkiest underdog on the card, by the way, because we saw this fight, Andrade won. There's a reason why Rose is the favorite. I just think it's too wide. The issue is we just saw Andrade get flatlined by Weili Zhang. At some point, you got to have some semblance of defense and not be getting knocked out. Like, getting knocked out at 115 it's not great. So the durability thing makes you question a little bit, just that slight nugget of doubt in my mind. Andrade is going to be popular. I am another under, actually, so I am picking two underdogs to win on this card. I lied. I'm taking Andrade, but it's a pretty chalky underdog. I'll have some shares of Rose, by the way, because she was hitting Andrade a lot in the first round. And if Andrade goes down, Rose is going to be an under-owned piece of the optimal lineup who could win you $1 million if Rose figures something out. This fight is also three rounds instead of five like it was the last time, so it's not like an all-in type of fight like it was last time. So the Voga Man, just the chalkiest behind Max, disagree. I think Andrade will be the chalkiest. You could be right. It'll be close, but I think it's Andrade 1, Max 2, but we're splitting hairs. Who's up for this fight? I think it is Chris.
Oh, is it?
Joe?
No, it's okay. Joe. That's all right. I'll make it quick. Give me Andrade. Rose, I love Rose. She will always have a place in my heart. Won me the contest to go hang out with Frank Mir in Orlando. It was one of the better experiences I've had in mixed martial arts. Watching or betting, it was cool hanging out with Frank Mir. And Rose Namajunas made that happen by doing a standing choke on, she beat Paige VanZant. That's right. I have a lot of love for Rose. I just think that one, she hasn't fought since that loss. She's a bit of a head case. She's had a couple of people in her family affected by COVID. She gets my sympathies for that. I think the three rounds actually favors Andrade. She doesn't have to worry about conserving cardio for a five-round fight. She can kind of go out there and, you know, just shove Rose around. Now, obviously, if Andrade should decide to, you know, lose her fight IQ and try to trade at range with Rose, she's going to get lit up like she did in the first round of the last fight. Hopefully she will not do that. She will look to muscle Rose, use her superior strength. For those of you that are watching this pod for the first time, Andrade used to fight at 135. I mean, so can you imagine? So she has got a lot of strength. She is one of the strongest fighters in this weight class. All she's got to do is muscle Rose, get her into a clinch, you know, maybe try to force her down. Rose has got a good – the funny thing about this fight is Rose is probably better everywhere except in power and, in, you know, in some of the intangibles. She's got a better overall ground game. She's a more technical striker, probably a better all-around martial artist. But I like Andrade at plus 170 or whatever that number is. So give me Andrade here at plus 170.
Chris.
Yeah. First, for our friend MK Takeoff in the chat,
that's not you're gonna address that. That is not how time works.
Well, I'm just gonna. I know, but the guy's confused. You know, we're just gonna help.
I know. I'm busting balls.
Don't worry about Sean. He's a big meanie. The fights are gonna be at on Saturday, so tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern. So there you go, my friend. Enjoy them. I'm taking Andrade too. I pretty much echo what Sean and Joe said. The only thing I would say, Sean, you mentioned the Wei Li Zhang fight. I just think it was so long. Like, Andrade hasn't met somebody who could hurt her in so long, probably ever, that she probably just didn't think it could happen. And so we saw – who did we see that not too long, but we saw it again. When that kind of reminded me of like Alexei Oleinik when he fought.
Don't say that man's name on this podcast unless he's on the card.
Only name I ever heard on this podcast. But it reminds me when he fought Overeem and he just kept barreling into the clinch and eventually one of those knees was the kill shot. But I don't think she's going to have that problem here. She's already felt Rose's power for one thing. And, I mean, I know she got knocked down. I think that was a little bit more of a slip. She did get tagged a lot. There's no question about it. I think, to your point, Sean, I don't think that was a fluke. I mean, the slam itself might have been. I think there's ample evidence that Andrade was taking that fight over. She made a nice adjustment with the leg kicks, and she was closing her down more. And I just think it's exhausting, the pressure, as you said. And so, I'm going Andrade. She will be super chalky, and because of that, I also support Sean when he says that you should have more Rose because she's going to be a contrarian pay-up, I think, and those can pay off if you get them. So, I'm going on Andrade here. I think by the midway through the second, it's going to be her fight.
Right, moving on. Title fight time, guys. We're here. Peter Yan, 9,300, taking on Jose Aldo at 6,900. Peter Yan, minus 215. Jose Aldo, plus 195. Fight doesn't go to decision, minus 170. Look, in my mind, I think Jose Aldo's got to finish this quick when he has, you know, the most power in his hands. I think he's going to need to finish Yan. I think if this fight goes a long way, I think Yan will be too quick, a little too technical, kind of new school versus old school. I do think Aldo is very, very live early. Should he land, obviously the bigger guy, the former 145-pound champion, you know, you can argue the 145 GOAT, and that's a whole other different argument that I can get people all riled up about, but we won't have it. I'm taking Yan, but Aldo, live dog, and at 6,900, I don't hate him as a cash game punt either. I think he's fine in all formats. Chris?
Yeah, I was going back and forth on this fight. I'm picking Aldo because, A, I think he has a shot to win, and B, I love Aldo, so it works out. I just think that you can't, like, Peter Yan has been great in the UFC. There's no question about it. But he hasn't exactly been an immortal. We saw John Dodson knock him down. We saw Jimmy Rivera in maybe the strangest fight I've ever seen, in the sense that Rivera won every minute of that round except for the last minute of every round when he lost it terribly. So that was just – the last minute of every round because he would get stuck up against the fence and Jan would hit him hard. I like that we saw a really consistent pressure from Aldo in that Moraes fight to the degree where Moraes said, look, I didn't expect him to put me on the back foot like that the whole time. So if he's got that kind of come forward attitude, one, it's good because, as I said, that Jan can't stick him against the cage. But two, maybe it's true. Maybe his cardio will last a little longer at this weight class. It's kind of counterintuitive, but maybe it works because he did look good into the third round of that fight. So we'll have to see. I think Aldo, one of the things here, it's funny, it sort of reminds me of Fedor. Now, it's relative, of course, because one's a heavyweight and one's a featherweight, so it's bantamweight. But there's a lot of things you can say about Fedor, right? His chin is gone, he's older, but he didn't really ever lose his speed, right? But that's all that you heard was, oh, he's gone, he's washed up. But he, at least to my eyes, he still basically kept his speed. And that's kind of what I see from Aldo. I think Aldo still basically has his speed, especially in his hands. And I think that a guy as dynamic as that could catch Jan, especially I don't like the way Jan blocks. He blocks like this. He just shells up. And Aldo can get one of those through and then change the fight that way. Make no mistake, Petr Yan is a marksman, and he picks his shots really well. And once he's got his reads, he goes to town. But as Sean said, I think the first one, two, maybe even three rounds, I think Aldo's got a real shot here, and I'm picking him.
Yeah, so first, I got some sad news, guys. I mean, first let me deal with the positive. We do have a little bit of sad news, and I want to thank the guys in the chat, Thomas, Tomas, Ryan, Tyler, Vince, Joshua, obviously Tajik, of course, Tyler, and then the man who could make a Mensa candidate feel stupid, our man Nan. But our super fan is gone. Where did our super fan go? Take me to church. Come on, dude. What happened? Is everything okay? In any case, I like Jan here. Aldo didn't have a great weight cut. You know, needed the towel, needed the hoop, needed the dental floss, needed it all. You know, I do like Jan. I do think Jan will – I can see Aldo winning a round or two, but I do see Jan wearing him out the longer the fight goes. I think Aldo's path to victory is to get a relatively quick finish, and for that reason I'll have shares of him on DraftKings. But I think if Jan plays the long game, he can wear Aldo out and win a pretty decisive decision or maybe even get a late finish himself.
All right, moving on, co-main event time. Alexander Volkanovski, 9,100, taking on Max Blessed Holloway at 7,100. Line on this fight, Volkanovski -210, Holloway +190. Fight goes to decision -255. Fun, high-scoring fight the first time. Expect more of the same here. I came close to picking Max Holloway. Just look, he didn't have the same. He still had a great volume. He was different to me because of the leg kicks. And if Volkanovski is able to beat up his leg again, it's probably the same story. That being said, you have to think Max is going to make an adjustment. He doesn't sound great. He's never spoken incredibly well. People are thinking he's punch drunk. Maybe he shot. Like, all concerns. And he said he's convinced he won the first fight, which is. Sorry, you didn't. Yeah. And if you don't make any adjustments, then it's more of the same. That being said, more of the same is still going to score well for DraftKings, and he's live to win a fight. Should he get a decision, you know, things go a little differently for him. I think he'll be right there. If he wins, he's 100% on the optimal lineup. I'll have plenty. I'm just shading towards Volkanovski. I'm not totally sold on Volkanovski on the optimal, just in case he takes a more patient approach, which, you know, Holloway fights typically force volume. I'm kind of looking for ways not to go all in this fight. But I'm pretty much there. Like, it's splitting hairs to not go all in. And I will say the stack, if you're playing DraftKings cash games, if you're not stacking this fight as like the first thing you're doing, go ahead and send me your head to heads. Like, just send them on over, because then you're doing cash games wrong. And we should have a bigger conversation. That's what I have on this fight, Chris.
Yeah, I agree with you about cash games, by the way. And I do think that I do think that Volkanovski takes this. I think it was the leg kicks in the first fight, but I also think it was Volkanovski exploding in and out of range with power. Holloway struggles with that power. We saw Poirier. I mean, he likes to just get in your face and throw volume, and if you can scare him out of that pocket, like I think Volkanovski did, I think it's just hard for him to get his game going. And then you add in the leg kicks that just, you know, every time he tried to plant and throw, it was just disrupting his game. I think we're going to get a lot more of this. I don't want to steal Joe's thunder too much because I'm sure this is coming, but we know that Holloway had a rough camp. That's all I'll say because I have a feeling Joe's going to take it. He's nodding his head yes, so I'm going to go ahead. And I just think that look, Holloway's game is great when he can get it going, but against a guy like Volkanovski, who first stifled Aldo's game, and we all thought, it's so funny, we all thought Aldo was finished, but it just looked that way because of what Volkanovski was able to do to him. And he looked similar against Max. I think he's going to put on a similar performance. I like him a lot here. I think he does very good things, cerebral things inside the cage, and I think he's a really high-level fighter, and I think he gets this done.
Yeah, so for all the reasons Chris said, first of all, if anyone is not stacking in this fight, please send enough head-to-heads to Chris so he could buy a new chair. You know, that would be very much appreciated.
Our best friend over here.
So Max had a very interesting camp. Not sure that he did any sparring or actual training. I think, what was he doing, Chris? Playing video games? I don't know that Max, and I'm repeating what Sean said, he has to make adjustments from his last fight with Volkanovski to win this fight. I am not highly confident enough to know that he's made any of those adjustments, which is why I favor Volkanovski here, which is why I'm picking Volkanovski.
All right, moving out and moving on. It's main event time. Kamaru Usman, 8,900, taking on Jorge Street Jesus, or Game Bread, your call, Masvidal at 7,300. Usman, minus 230 and falling.
And falling, yes.
Bananas. This opened at minus 350. So public money coming in. I suspect it's going to go back up. I think sharp people, I like to think of myself as one of them, ideally, knock on wood, are waiting for this line to go as low as it's going to get to and then jump on it. Like I got some money put away to make a bet here. Usman wins pretty much everywhere unless Masvidal lands something spectacular. He was saying today he's got, you know, some special recipe, some secret sauce. Let's see what it is, Jorge, because I'm not seeing it, bud. Usman is the real deal. He can grapple him. He's going to be more powerful on the feet. We've seen Usman crazy cardio. Like, I struggle to see where Masvidal is going to win it, other than landing something spectacular like he did against Askren. I don't see it. So give me Usman all in this fight in GPPs. You know, Usman in cash games is the play. So, yeah, I it's pretty straightforward main event that I'm really looking forward to. And if I'm wrong, it could be a rough day, but I'm going to have fun watching. Joe, start us off.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, it's the redneck money that's coming in on Masvidal. You know, the $20 and $30 bets with the four or five and six figure bets coming in on Usman is what I'm hearing. So it really is interesting. I mean, look, he got the baddest M belt and, you know, that's a good thing. And I know he's been training with Poirier, but that's different than training for a fight. I like that Usman took this camp in Colorado when he thought Burns was going to be his opponent. I like Usman here a lot. I'm going to have shares of Masvidal for the simple reason that he's got power and he can win. But I really have to think the all around game is, you know, going to favor Usman. I just hope that he doesn't try to stand and strike, that he hasn't developed that level of confidence in his striking. Use your wrestling, clinch fight him, use your power, drop him to the ground, you know, pull a Damian Maya on him. That's what you need to do here. Do not get into a classic, you know, range-based striking exchange fight with with Masvidal, because you may take some damage that way. And when you start to take that kind of damage, ask Donald Cerrone how his fight against Gamebred went. So I like Usman, but I want him to stick to his wrestling-based game plan here.
Chris?
Yeah, it feels weird that I'm so high on Usman here, because I really do like a lot of Masvidal's game, but I just feel like it's just a particularly bad matchup. Masvidal gets back into the cage by almost everybody he fights. Till got him there. Nate Diaz got him there. Even Damian Maia to a certain extent. And I just think that, I mean, that's Usman's entire game, is to back you into the fence with some striking. Then once he has you there, dirty box, takedown, dirty box, takedown. Repeat, I think that the problem is that Masvidal relies on his ability to scramble too much. Like I think he thinks very highly of it, but I don't think it's going to work here. I think Masvidal has really good kicks from range. His boxing is really good. Obviously, his counters. He's going to have to hit Usman with something hard, and it's probably going to have to happen early. Otherwise, I just don't see it. I'm taking Usman here. In a certain extent, like, I don't dislike Usman, so I'm not exactly rooting against him, but it would be cool to see Masvidal win. I just don't see it. So I'm going to be watching this as a fan, but as far as the DFS goes, I'm going to be heavy on Usman.
All right, guys. We have just broken down 13 fights for last thing before the hot takes. Let's go FanDuel. FanDuel really prioritizes finishes even more than DraftKings, especially early ones. So, you can look, and you got 3 5-round fights. So anybody to win a 5-round fight, you have to consider strongly as a captain. And then for me, I think you're looking at guys like, Volkan, the heavyweight fight. I think for the most part, though, the MVP exposure, it's probably going to be a lot in those 5-round fights. And anybody you think can get a 1st-round stoppage, which there are some of those out there. But that's pretty much how I'm looking at FanDuel. You guys have any differing opinions there?
Well, one thing I would say is that, like, if you're not really in on FanDuel, maybe you just want to give it a try for MMA. Remember that your captain play, they don't charge you extra money for it as they do on DraftKings. So that's kind of interesting, where you can just sort of put in whoever you want. I mentioned the difference of price between someone like Rosa before. There's another weird one with Masvidal where he's like $18 for some reason, and Peter Yan is $19. So I don't. If you think Masvidal is gonna win, I guess really take that, because I doubt anybody's putting that in their captain spot. But pretty much just what Sean said. I mean, I like to go a little bit off the beaten track for captains at times when I can, just because I feel like there's gonna be a lot of looking at those 5-round fights. And I only really love one of them to score really well. I mean, the Aldo Yan one can. It sort of depends on how that fight develops. Holloway, Volkanovski is probably a high-scoring decision. So I would say fan out and maybe look down the card. Look at that Volkan fight, as Sean said. If you want to get a little crazy, maybe look at Rosa, who I actually like for a finish. And as I said, who is priced down on there. But all good stuff what Sean said. And I think that it's interesting, FanDuel, but I just don't – I hate their stats with the – I really wish that wasn't the case with the, submissions or takedowns defense and submission attempts. But, it's a decent – I like the captain's idea. And so, give it a shot. And I think – some good advice there from Sean.
All right, Joe, anything to add or hot take time?
I don't play FanDuel. I hate their tack. I can't stand their tack.
All right. So that being said, guys, I'm going to queue up hot takes. Fire away in chat. We'll get to them at the end. Before I do that, I'm going to do this closing part now. Make you wait for the hot takes. We can get the hell out of here right afterwards. I've got a couple more fights to watch for Wednesday's card. Anyway. Make sure to go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Subscribe on YouTube to RotoWire. Subscribe on iTunes, RotoWire MMA. Follow all of us on Twitter. It's right there on the screen. I won't make you go through it again. I won't read it. Okay, guys, hot take time. Joe, I assume you have a bet fired up because you always have bets fired up.
I do.
Hot
takes. I do. So first, by the way, the real Chris Olsen has written a couple articles on RotoWire. Does not one of them address FanDuel?
Yes, it does, in fact.
So go read Chris's articles. Okay, so my parlay is this. It is a four-fighter parlay with odds of plus 842. It is Volkan Ozdemir, Alexander Volkanovski, Kamaru Usman, and Jessica Andrade. Those four fighters pay plus 842. Could bet a little bit, over $100 to win 1,000. I like it. I'm playing it. You guys should play it too if you have the cojones. Bet with your head not over it.
I'm going to go next. I'll let Chris close this out this week. I'm going to say that for the wording specifically, I'm going to let you guys have some say.
Uh-oh. Here. What's happening?
What do you think Martin Day's ownership is going to be?
I don't know. Mid to low 20s.
Okay. 70-80% of the field going to be dead after the first fight. Martin Day on the optimal is my hot take.
All right.
I am going to I'm going to pick a favorite, but I still think it's in the spirit of a hot take because it's a plus money play. Last I looked, it was plus 350, and I mentioned it earlier. I'm going Carol Rosa by KO or submission.
So right. Any finish? It's by any finish?
Any finish, yeah. That includes DQ too, but you know.
Host okay. Inside the distance. We're going to read some of these. We got Volkan Ozdemir. That's not really a hot take. Volk by KO, says Thomas Tyner. I like that one. Thomas S. Fight metric by TKO. Yeah, they do something stupid. Me and Joe will be unconscious screaming.
Yep.
Somebody asking, when is the fight? Saturday on the East Coast. Fights start at 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock for the 6 o'clock early prelims, Eastern time, 8 o'clock prelims, 10 o'clock main card. First fight on Optimal, Thomas Turner. Oh, yep, we agreed. I like it. Rebus, John Tiller, Rebus, Aldo, Holloway, Usman, inside the distance parlay. That is a lot of finishes. And the Aldo one, that's going to make some big ones. Tybura by sub. I don't hate that one because he has the grappling advantage.
Yep.
I like that, Josh. Tyler Lee, I don't even want to say that, Tyler. You're gonna insert me, insult me. Scroll up, type it all in one comment. Get out of here, Tyler. I'm not even gonna read that one. Grishin high score from Mark Koval. Last one, 5+ underdogs win, says Brandon Parker.
Wow,
that is how someone wins $1 million by themselves. Everybody root. That Brandon Parker is writing that one of us take it down. That's what we got for you guys. Fun podcast. I want to congratulate these, or really good job, guys. We kept 13 fights under control, pretty concise, some fun stuff. Everyone out there, thanks for joining us. Good luck in your contest. We have 4 fight cards in like 13 days or something like that.
Crazy.
So enjoy. Good luck in all your contests. See you next time.
Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.